Thank you for joining me again. And for one last time, this is the last of my series, The Close. Just really a few thoughts and experiences that have suggested to me that planning for completion should not be left to the very last lap of the race. As the great leadership thinker and author Stephen Covey wrote in Seven Habits, begin with the end in mind. And if I may share an anecdote, I think I might have shared this on a previous occasion, but it is relevant here. So situation is a few years back, I'm operating as a project manager. The assignment was a software product development and implementation. From memory, it ran for about 9 months. It was a fairly significant piece of work and took a lot of management and scope control. But good news was it very much looked like it was coming home on time, on budget, and on scope. So in the last month, I started to focus on the handovers, particularly the handover of the software to production support. And that's when I tripped up. Speaking to the production support leaders, I identified a whole set of criteria and tests and facilities that were needed to operate the solution. Previously, this had been a completely blind spot to me, and so it was additional work. It had to be picked up by someone. That someone ended up being us in the context of what was a fixed fee arrangement. This turned into a 3-month overrun, which frankly was not great. So what did I learn? I learned that the focus on delivery and even the focus on the business outcome as a high level, served me very well. But there were things that I missed. So the key message here is very early on, before embarking on the change phase, which in the seven C's would mean at the end of the create phase, to have as complete as possible a done list. So a checklist that tells you when are you done? So your completion criteria, your success criteria, your exit criteria, and to think around all of those dimensions. So just as another example, imagine, as I've seen, that you were responsible for an office relocation project. So moving all your personnel into a new head office, you'd clearly focus on the new building, all the approvals, fitting it out, getting the move organized, maybe even setting up a system to deal with all of the snagging and so on. And you might very well achieve the key outcome of getting all of your people under one roof. And then what might you not have considered? You might not have considered decommissioning or exiting or getting all the cost savings from the old buildings. You might not have considered validating that within the new building it delivered the positive impact to client and staff that you'd hoped for. To make it very explicit, what I'm saying is, as you build up your conditions of satisfaction, to think about those things which are often overlooked. And in technology, where we're migrating to new platforms, we often overlook really decommissioning the old platforms and moving all of those legacy and residual applications off. I've often seen that situation. It's quite common where you've moved nearly everything off, but there is one, stubborn service that can't move, or a data set that can't move. And then at the end of the day, you're stuck, unable to fully decommission, and now you have a new piece of legacy. So to be clear, think about the legacy that the project is leaving behind. Think about the processes that you're putting in place for the realization of benefits, the impact tracking. Think about the ownership of the assets and the benefits going forwards. Who are you handing over to? Have you engaged those stakeholders early and understood their ownership criteria, making it clear that they understand in the first place they are the future owners of this? They'll suddenly wake up and start showing great interest. You know, have you really thought about all of the people impacts? Often change management and the communication of change, the preparation of people for change and managing that side of the process is often a poor relation and is underfunded. So, you know, the message here is, you know, do not start any campaign without really planning how to exit. And one technique from breakthrough thinking here that I think is really helpful is the facilitation of a conversation that with key stakeholders who are in your inner circle. As a group, get that group, if you like, to stand in the future. So to imagine and visualize successful completion and how does that look and how does that feel? And then ask that group, you know, working back from that future point to share, you know, what is it that we did in the last month that turned out to be critical to success? So when you look at your campaign from that end of the telescope, you really, you know, are planning for proper completion and your exit from the battleground. I would also say, just as an individual, you know, where you have a leadership role here, think about what would satisfy you. Are there some quality attributes of the solution or the completion or the change that would just make you feel good about that overall legacy? You know, as consultants and change experts, we do move on, and we just, I think, want to feel proud about what we've achieved and what we've helped to bring about. And a very large part of that, I mean, we must begin and end with the client as well, which is to stand in the client's shoes and think about what would be really great for the client. Where would their satisfaction and client satisfaction come from? As I would have said earlier, whenever a client engages a consultancy, they aren't taking a personal risk and they're investing some of their political as well as their financial capital in the project. So what would give them a personally great return? I know with a lot of the clients that I've worked for and we work for in Zionic, a good project looks very good for them. So, you know, the image and the exposure of the team and the communication of the success. So helping to gather that data and put those communications together. On the subject of communications, and again, often overlooked, let me make a real plea here for acknowledgement. Acknowledging and recognizing the contributions of everyone who has been involved throughout the journey, who has contributed to the success. So, you know, very powerful to send people a message that says, you know, you may be pleased to hear, you know, this is where we've got to, this is the success that's been achieved. You know, we've really valued your contribution to helping to bring that about. So really worthwhile doing, will be much appreciated and is good karma, I think. Also, individually and as a team, take the time to reflect on the whole experience and what learning can you take away from that, and how can you make that learning available to others? I think anyone who's done project management training knows that that final retrospective is really good practice. But often, you know, we move on, the team moves on, the resources are deployed on new things, and that final reflection and learning maybe doesn't take place as often as it should. But I would very much encourage you to do that. This whole series, if you like, has been an expression of passing on learning from me and my experiences, and making that available to you who are listening. So I'd like to, you know, thank you for your time and your interest. I'd also like to thank all of my colleagues historically at Catalyst, and now the same firm known as Psionic. There are many of you whose ideas I've learned from, and probably you found them kind of repackaged in these various episodes. Yes, so thank you for your attention. I hope you found all of these a good use of your time, and hopefully, you know, this is the end of the beginning of your ongoing success. So thanks for listening. This is Chris, and goodbye.